This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated.
All right.
Well, as I have told you before, I like to hear a modern-day song when I'm writing my sermon, and the one that I heard is by Billie Eilish, What Was I Made For? What was I made for? I want everybody to say that. What was I made for? Okay, that's going to be the big question of the sermon today. And I would like to begin by praying about the wisdom of Solomon, because we're going to look into Solomon's legacy today. And so my question to you, of course, would be, what is your legacy? Everybody in here has a specific legacy. So let us pray. Holy wisdom, you granted Solomon's request for an understanding mind and the knowledge to discern good from evil. Fill us with such understanding and knowledge that we may act as instruments of your loving desire for creation, working with you to transform our conceit into concern for others, our fear into love, our violence into peace, and our brokenness into wholeness. And they all said, amen. So King Solomon is known for three things. I don't know, what is the banging? And then last week, it was not close enough. And they told me I had to, are you ready for this? I had to tape my face. How's that? Sorry. Although it woke you all up, right? Okay. So King Solomon's known for three things. Three things. First of all, his wisdom, which we heard about in the first reading. Second, the building of the temple, which his father was not allowed to do because his father had some character flaws. That's a nice way to say it. We love David, but he did have some character flaws, especially when it came for his passion for Bathsheba. But that's another story. And the third thing kind of goes with this. The third thing that Solomon is known for are his women. I think he had over 1,000 concubines. So guess what? Mother Mary Ellen is not talking about his women today. If you would like to talk about his women, that'll be another time and another place, and we'll have a discussion about the mores and the way that people lived back in those days. But today we're going to look at, first of all, his wisdom and his temple that he built, which really is his legacy. Although I do have to say, his relationship with the Queen of Sheba is very interesting, and we know that from the whole, if you've ever seen the Ethiopian Christians, they are some of the most devout and really incredible Christians in the world, especially if you go to the Holy Land, you can see them so present there. But today we're going to look at his wisdom, and I think you all, you probably don't know this, but I'm married for 47 years, well, been together 47 years, been married for 46, to a philosophy professor at Barry University. He taught for 43 years. So when I think about wisdom, I have to have this discussion with my philosophical husband, right? And so we did, and we talk about how wisdom is deeper and more profound than knowledge. Lots of people have knowledge. But you have to have knowledge and understanding and wisdom. These are three gifts of the Holy Spirit, and they are all related. So knowledge is the accumulation of facts, truths, or principles through education, experience, research, observation, investigation. It can also be discussed as an awareness of power. Understanding is the ability to interrelate to the separate parts of knowledge so as to discover deeper truths, and then making decisions about which aspects of knowledge are relevant and how do you apply them in certain situations. It can also be defined as realizing what information means, to comprehend and not only be able to read the written word or hear oral words, but discern the meaning as well. And this takes focus. And if you don't think we need to know this in this day and age, then you're not on a computer. You're not on your phone. Do you all agree? I think there's a lack of understanding, wisdom, and knowledge, definitely, in our day and time. So wisdom is this big picture view of our experiences, and it helps us to see how everything fits together. How do we apply our insights? How do we make good judgments? How do we discern properly? The state of being wise is the right use of knowledge. And so I would like to take you back in time to remember one of the stories of Solomon's wisdom. Remember, there were two women, and there were two babies. One of the babies was dead. The other baby was alive. Are you beginning to remember the story? And they come in front of Solomon, who was a judge as well, and say, This is my baby. The one that was alive. And Solomon looked at the two women, and he says, let's cut the baby in half, and I'll give you each a half. Shocking, isn't it? But there was method in his madness, as Shakespeare would say, because what happens is the real true mother loves the baby so much and knows that the life is so important that she says, oh, no, give the baby to the other person. I don't want anything to happen to this precious baby. And then Solomon knows who the real mother is. So that was his application of his knowledge, and he figured out the whole context. That's one of his stories of great wisdom. So it's necessary to apply wisdom to everyday challenges. And I would say in this day and age, it's essential to discern life with as much wisdom as possible. You see, our lives are really weavings of our choices. We're presented with many options and have to discern our way forward. One of my favorite, anthropologists, I would say, Joseph Campbell, a great writer, said, we cannot cure the world of sorrows, but we can choose to live in joy. I don't believe people are looking for the meaning of life as much as they are looking for the experience of being alive. Your life is the fruit of your own doing. You have no one to blame but yourself. Think about that. However, we can't only live using our own limited wisdom. We should also employ sources of revelation. And we have to always remember what they said at seminary every single time I went to every single class. God is a mystery. And it's very arrogant for any of us to think we know the mind of God. Although I do agree with our wonderful presiding bishop who said, if it's not about love, it's... Thank you. Thank you, Gail. And so important. If it's not about love, it's not about God. But in the Hebrew Testament, they write, God's ways are not our ways in Isaiah. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So here's the question. How do we know God's thoughts? Well, we don't, but we can also begin to discern them through listening, prayer, discernment, and support of others in our community whom we trust. It's really important, I think, for us to have faithful friends and to be a church so that we have a community of people who will hold you up. And I would like to say, if I'm doing something wrong, you need to say, Mother Mary Ellen, you are way off in that. But remember, St. Paul says you could do it on the side by yourself, please. But it's important for us to trust each other and to love each other and to treat other people as Jesus wants us to treat each other. Joseph Campbell has one of my favorite lines, too. He says, life is not a problem to be solved, but a mystery to be lived. Follow the path that is no path, and follow your bliss. Follow your bliss. Sometimes we're placed in challenging situations. However, sometimes those most challenging situations open up new horizons for us. That if we had just made our own decisions, we would never have gone down that path. So it's important to be open. Well, another one of my favorite people, Joan Chichester, Sister Joan says, it is in community that we come to see God in the other. It is community that we see our own emptiness filled up. It is a community that calls me beyond the pinched horizons of my own life, my own country, my own race, and gives me the gifts I do not have within me. So returning back to Solomon for a moment, he's also known for doing something that, as I said to you, King David could never do, and that's build the temple. Now, when I was beginning to wrestle with the whole concept of the temple, it's very complicated because he was the first person, and it's described in great detail in 1 Kings 5 and 6, and we think it was possibly the 10th century BCE. And it's his legacy, this incredible temple. Now, there have been other temples because the temple was torn down and rebuilt. But the temple was everything. It was a central point of religious significance for the Israelites from that time, even to the present. Even though it was destroyed, there are still parts of it. In 70 AD, during the first Jewish-Roman war, the Romans destroyed the second temple and Jerusalem. This is a really fascinating time, and I would say that we could discuss it at another time, because this is when rabbinic Judaism comes out, because they don't have a temple anymore to go to, so then you have to have this, you have this diaspora, so then you have to be able to have these people, these rabbis that have the Torah and are able to carry that out to other people where they've been spread. The Jews have never lost the deep desire to see the temple rebuilt, ever. And there are significant archaeological remains from the Second Temple, including the Western Wall. And I'm sure you've seen pictures of the Western Wall that still exists, that was built, actually that one was built by Herod. We all know that name and cringe. This is part of Solomon's legacy. So we have to establish our own legacy like Solomon did. So what is your legacy? What are your gifts that you offer to the world that no one else can give? No one else can, because you are so unique. We are the stuff that stars are made of, but nobody is like you. And listen, all you have to do is look at me and you can see my mother, but I'm not my mother. So, you know, we are different people. Even if you know twins that are identical, you know that they're completely different people. So what is it? What are the positive ways that you know you can share with community? And then how are you choosing between good and evil, between fear and love? George Bernard Shaw said this, "This is the true joy in life, being used for a purpose recognized by yourself as a mighty one. Being a force of nature instead of a feverish, selfish little clod of ailments, grievances, complaining that the world will not devote itself to making you happy. I am of the opinion that my life belongs to the whole community, and as long as I live, it is my privilege to do for it what I can. I want to be thoroughly used up when I die, for the harder I work, the more I live. I rejoice in life for its own sake. Life is no brief candle to me. It is a sort of splendid torch which I have gotten hold of for the moment, and I want to make it burn as brightly as possible before handing it on to future generations." So what is your torch? What torch are you passing along? And as you all know now, I end with one of my favorite poems. So today it will be... Actually, I have to be honest with you. There was one called King Solomon and the Ants that was by John Greenleaf Whittier. Not so much. We're not going to do that one. It was a good poem because it was about this ant making Solomon be humble and how the exchange. But I love the writing of this one more. So I'm going to read to you, "When I am among the trees," especially the last line really is wonderful, by Mary Oliver. "When I am among the trees, especially the willows and the honey locusts, Equally, the beech, the oaks, and the pines, they give off such hints of gladness. I would almost say that they save me daily. I am so distant from the hope of myself, in which I have goodness and discernment, and never hurry through the world, but walk slowly and bow often. Around me, the trees stir in their leaves and call out, "Stay a while." The light flows from their branches, and they call again. "It's simple," they say, "and you too have come into the world to do this, to go easy, to be filled with light, and to shine." Amen.